Hey guys, this is Anoop. I'm sure you've heard I have a startup called Renta. You can visit me at renta.com, R-E-N-T-A-H.com. The idea is you could rent any type of good, service, or space. So you could rent Arturo to teach you Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or you could rent my friend Andy to set up your podcasting equipment for your next gig, or you could rent the Philosophy of Fighting podcast to promote a commercial on our podcast, or some gear, right? Like our friend Michael Shear did, if you want some Wu-Tang apparel. So check out Renta. It would mean a lot to me. Cheers.
Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
All right, so for today's podcast, we're going to talk to former training partner of mine, good buddy, Omar Riad. He is an amateur MMA fighter. He's a young kid. He's 18. Am I right on that? 18?
Yes, sir. 18.
18. Man, when I stepped into the gym and I met this kid at 10th Planet Poway, I thought he was like 25 years old. And he's just beating up on adults and stuff. And then when he told me, he's like, oh, I'm 16. I was like, whoa. No way.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty wild, man. I've known even as a kid, he was sneaking into adult brackets to compete against adults and stuff. So now he's getting his amateur MMA career kind of going on. And I know he wants to kind of make it pro and stuff. And he's got a really good group of friends and followers that really support him and stuff. So I want to kind of ask him about MMA and all that good stuff. Omar, did I miss anything?
Nah, you got it on the spot.
Arturo, did it piss you off when you found out he was 16 and fucking up some older dudes? Because that pisses me off. Like when somebody goes, oh yeah, I'm like, I have my whole life ahead of me. My instinct is to be like, go fuck yourself. Like, you know, like I'm 38 and I just like, I'm a hobbyist. But it's out of respect.
Yeah, I think everyone has the same impression as me is when they meet Omar, like, oh my God, you're like adult bodied up, like you're beating up adults. It's crazy. So yeah, a little bit. If he's beating you up, you're like, God dang, this kid's beating me up. It's pretty rough.
I know, and he's only gonna get better. That's why Omar, when I roll against anybody young, like I make sure I try to tap them out. That way, like I have that over them, because I know in 5 years I'm like, or even a year or two, like I'm like, fuck, they're gonna beat me. So now it's like my time.
Like an investment, like 10 years from now, you're like, oh, I tapped that guy before.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I still do that to Arturo because me and Arturo used to wrestle in my living room and I pushed him through my wall. And so I was like, no matter how good you get,
you always tell this story, but let's edit this, right? You pushed me. I put my hand on the wall, the base, and my hand went through the wall.
Yeah.
When you say you pushed me through the wall, people think I like flew through a wall or something.
Yeah, he went through the wall, exactly.
But yeah, I guess you can say I went through a wall, this guy. So
Omar, what got you into training, combat? Like, were you always just like an athlete type person, or no, is this the thing that you liked?
I kind of used to be like a half chubby, half skinny kid. You know, I looked skinny in regular clothes, but like I had like, you know, like a little kiddish is what we call it in Arabic, like Iraqi. Mm-hmm. I had a little tummy, you know. My first sport that I ever did was kind of just like to learn a little bit of self-defense. It was just cardio kickboxing. I was just like working out with like soccer moms and stuff like that. But my first like real sport was wrestling in eighth grade. Me and my friend got me to join it. I took the flyer and then I joined the class. That was pretty much what I began with.
And you're based out in California, so did like a lot of your friends wrestle? Is there like a wrestling culture there?
Yeah, most of the people I hung out with were wrestlers purely because I was just like friends with the guys on the team. And like some of my like other friends that didn't wrestle, I got some of them into wrestling and I got some of them into jiu-jitsu. Like Arturo knows Ryan Moncato, I got him into jiu-jitsu. He's one of my, I've known him since sixth grade. And now he just got his jiu-jitsu blue belt.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah. You wrestled at Poway High?
Yeah, me and Ryan both did.
Gotcha.
Were you good right away? Did it take some time? Like, what was your skill level like? What did you feel like when you first went onto the mats?
I wouldn't say I was good, but I wasn't bad either. Like, I would win a lot more times than I lost competition-wise. But, like, skill-wise, I wasn't really good. But everybody was, like, not that good in, like, the beginning, like, first year or second year. But the thing about Poway Wrestling is everybody in that room is just so high level. I think they're ranked like number 7 in the country. So like everybody around me that was like wrestling in the wrestling room, everybody was just super good. So it doesn't matter how good like you were, because there's always just somebody way better. So that's like the standard that you were held up to. But like most are people like that weren't even starting the like the varsity A or B or JV A or B. Most of those people that weren't starting would be able to start in other schools. Mm. So it was just a different standard that we were like held up to. But yeah, I was never the best. I was like always in like the bottom level of the room skill wise, like freshman year at least.
Yeah, but that's good humility. I feel like that's how you learn to get good. I feel like sometimes when people are good as soon as they start, they don't work hard at it because they're like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, fuck it. Like, I could throw deep. Where, yeah. Like, when you're a little bad, it's good because it's like, well, why is he beating me? And you got to study it. You got to be smarter. You got to be analytical.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a XP boost almost. You level up twice as fast when you have people much better than you in the room.
Mm-hmm. 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 That too. Exactly. I think it's also interesting how a lot of these people that become fighters in general, like some of it is luck. Like I like that you said like, oh, your friend did it, you know, and then your friend get like, and you happen to go to a school or live near an area that's 7th in the country. Like, yeah. I think that's a lot of things with like from business to fighting or anything. Like you need that little bit of luck, somebody to nudge you.
Yeah, exactly. So just being able to capitalize on your surroundings. Like some people may live close to no good gyms at all. And some people may live to like the number one gym with like multiple world champions. So it has a lot to do with your environment. Your environment dictates like stuff about you, I'd say. Not just in sports, just in life in general, I think.
Of course.
Yeah. So was there someone else that inspired you to foray into jiu-jitsu and MMA? Like what brought you to that decision? After wrestling,
see, just watching MMA.
Okay,
me and Ryan, we started watching a lot of MMA while we were wrestling. We became really big MMA fans, mm-hmm. and like just continuing like wrestling and competing and doing school. It wasn't like really, I didn't have the idea of like wanting to like professionally be a combat sport athlete, but like the more I did it, slowly like turned more into me actually wanting to do it until I switched over to jiu-jitsu like junior year, because I hurt my leg in wrestling and then I was out for a bit and then I just went into jiu-jitsu instead because wrestling competitions at the time were canceled mainly because of COVID. It was like, that's when I switched over to jiu-jitsu and striking. But yeah, I was mainly watching the UFC fights and like mainly like me looking up to Khabib. Like that was at the time when like he was like super popular. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like what influenced me to want to do it. Cause I really enjoyed going to practice. So I was like, okay, if I could make a living out of doing something I like, so it was like a no brainer for me.
Why did you love Khabib so much?
Because I could kind of like, it just like when you have like somebody in a sport that you kind of can almost like see yourself through, like at the time, I think it was the build up to Khabib versus McGregor. That's when I first like kind of started watching MMA, and like I didn't know much about the sport. I could just see clips here and there, and my dad was showing me, hey, look, this dude's about to beat this racist guy or something like that. So I started watching it, and then I'm seeing him say alhamdulillah and all that stuff. I'm like, hey, hold up, he's kind of like me. So I just kind of like it caught my eye, and I don't know, it just clicked kind of, you know.
So I think it's interesting because me and Artie would always talk about like building the perfect fighter in like a lab, you know, and like where would they come from? And I mean, people don't love talking about like race and religion, but like I do. So I feel like I bring it up and I'm always like, to me, I think one of the best fighters, like if I had to put him in a lab, I always said like I would make them Muslim because you generally don't drink or smoke. And you have the discipline of praying 5 times a day. So you have the discipline of potentially training 5 times a day, like stopping whatever you're doing to do whatever you need to do.
That's already more discipline than everyone else. Yeah,
exactly. And yeah. I'd always also say, too, you want them to be from the mountains because they could breathe better. You want them to be poor, so they're hungrier, right? So like that is Dagestan in many ways. And so you have the Muslim factor, but you're also in Southern California. So like you don't have the geographic hardships or maybe the monetary hardships, but you also have, you're in the mecca of training where you have, like you said, the seventh best high school wrestling team. And you're training with people like Dan Henderson, right? And Joe Stevenson, like famous UFC people. So do you think I'm right about what I'm saying about like Muslim people? Like, do you think like that, that has that factor or no? Is it just so happens we maybe just notice Muslim people more because like in fighting, because it's not like you're dominating other sports. Like in baseball, it's Dominicans, you know, and football, I was talking to my girlfriend. It's kind of like black or white. Like,
yeah, I
fighting is becoming the Muslim sport a little bit. Where
I definitely agree with you, but like, I feel like it doesn't necessarily, like, it just depends on person to person, because like, there's some, like, for example, some people that might not be Muslim, but they still have that type of discipline. But yeah, that's a trait that you see in some most Muslims, because the discipline that we have to have to pray five times a day. Obviously, not every Muslim does that. We're supposed to, but not if maybe some people don't. But that is a trait that you see in Muslims, that we have to pray five times a day, that we do have to fast in Ramadan. So it does definitely carry over for those people that are very disciplined.
Yeah, I feel that. I think there's something there in regards to training. But do your friend, like, I also think of it too, like culturally, like you were saying, like your friend does wrestling. And so therefore you do wrestling and you looked at Khabib. And so you're like, oh, I kind of feel like that person. Do you notice like your Muslim friends or whatever talking about fighting more? Or is it still like FIFA or like other sports?
I'll be talking about FIFA, honestly. What that got me to wrestling was, his name is Ivan Bowen. I think he's like Hawaiian, I believe. So he's not Muslim, but me and him were really close friends. And he kind of got me into wrestling. And like the high school that we went to is just like known for its wrestling. It's like its number one sport, like skill wise, out of all the other sports. So yeah, it was definitely like the area and culture that I was around that like kind of influenced wrestling. My dad wanted me to be a soccer player.
Okay.
How about your brother, though? You have a brother that trains and goes as well. Like, what about your brother? Is the same thing for him?
I think so. Yeah, I think now he wants to be an MMA fighter as well. At first, he didn't like training at all. We didn't force him into wrestling. He did wrestling and quit after 2 weeks. He said he hurt his knee or whatever. I think he was just making excuses.
Yeah, exactly. Right. What a
trap. Like during COVID, he started to the 10th Planet Poway gym with me. But his first month was during Ramadan while we were like fasting and training. So, like, for it to be his first month and for him to not like want to quit, I think it like he enjoyed it more. But I think the reason he enjoyed it the most is because of the friends he made at the gym. He became friends with all my friends, with my friend Gabe, Ryan, Javi. All of them became like really good friends with him. And it kind of like made him want to go to the gym more and more. And that eventually made him enjoy the sport itself. Now he like on his own, he watches like MMA videos and stuff without me like telling him to watch it. So now I can tell that he's actually enjoying the sport and not just like the people.
Right on.
I love that. I always tell people too, like, cause I'm like, you're going to lose weight and you're going to feel good about yourself. But then the other thing is like, hey, you're going to be part of a group chat. Like people literally like they don't need to know what you do for a living, or they just like you once you fight each other a little bit on the mats. Like there's something so sweet.
Yeah.
So
good. Just get that effect when you just like fight people, just beat people up. And then you guys just talk about it like friends afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like my favorite thing. I used to like work at like nightclubs and stuff. And the very first thing, like a lot of people asked each other, we would be like, oh, what do you do? Like, you know, and yeah, sure. They want to get to know you, but it's also partially like, how can we help each other? Like, how much money do you make? Like, are you worth my time? Where I think like a lot of times, like when you're on the mat, I love that almost like, I never ask people what they do for a living. Like you never ask people like about their kids or family. Like, it's like, oh, did you see that show? It's just so simple. It's so sweet. Like I love.
Yeah. Everything just shuts off when you're on the mats. There's like no outside distractions. It's just, you're just fighting to stay alive.
Yeah. It's the Fight Club, but you tell everybody about it.
Yep.
What size are you? So people could have an idea of like, so, and also how does your dad feel about you doing MMA? Cause I think I'd want a young kid. If I have a young kid, I definitely wanted to do jujitsu and wrestling, but I think I would be nervous about him getting punched in the head. So, and yet you look older, but you are still a young kid. I teach people your age, so I'm curious, what does your dad say about that? And yeah, just give us your size. I'm curious who you're fighting, what type of people.
Like my height and weight?
Yeah, like where do you fight?
I'm 5'9", and my last fight was at 155. I walk around like 162, 163.
Okay.
So that's my size. And my dad, he's really supportive of it. I did start in wrestling and jiu-jitsu. That's like mainly like my two strong suits. If I had the choice between like striking with the guy or like just taking him down and subbing him, that's going to be my go-to option. Because on the feet, you can be the superior striker and still get caught with a punch that like puts you down. Because although your skills are better, your chin doesn't automatically mean it's going to be really strong. I feel like that's just like genetics. I don't know how that stuff all like specifically works. But my dad just, he supports me. He goes to like most of my competitions whenever he can, if he's not working. And he like knows that as long as I'm like putting in the work, he's not worried about me going into there. And lucky for him, I didn't get punched in my last fight. So
yeah, good. Speaking of which, for Omar's first fight, you want to tell him about it? How fast it was?
I believe it was 49 seconds.
Wow. and walk us through that play-by-play. What did you do? And how were you feeling if it was your first fight?
I was excited. I wasn't even like nervous anymore and like the warm-up and all that stuff. Like two, three, four days before, I was like feeling the butterflies in my stomach every time I like think about competing. But like during the warm-up, I wasn't nervous at all. I was just waiting. I was just like kind of like just ready to go because I'm like, I just want to get it done with.
Mm-hmm.
Like not in a bad way, but like they had me scheduled so late. I just wanted to go home and like shower. So I just wanted to go in there and like just start the fight. We walked in to the cage. I felt good. And then we were like striking for like, I'd say 15 seconds, I think. I threw a leg kick, but he was a little bit too far away. And then I started like faking the takedown. And then it got him to bite on like two or three fakes. And then he went like with a cross or an uppercut, but I saw it coming. And then I dipped in for a double leg and then picked him up and slammed him and then took his back. That's pretty much it.
And then he choked him out? Choke.
I didn't choke him out. Yeah, he just tapped.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. He probably realized, fuck, I'd rather not get hit in the back, like hit in the head while you're on his back. That's awesome.
So leading up to this, I'm pretty sure you had like other opponents that dropped out and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about that experience, how that must have been.
That was very frustrating, honestly. It was very stressful, too. I think that's why I have these like breakouts that come on my face. It's a scar now right here. But I have these breakouts. I got it like freshman year of wrestling. I think it's called Matt Herpes. It's not sexually fitted.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I always make fun of me for it. I got it from wrestling. And basically it comes back every time your immune system is down or you're like physically or emotionally stressed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like 3 weeks before the fight, I got sick. And then like 2 weeks before the fight, I went through three different opponents cause they all kept pulling out. So I thought I was not going to get a fight on the thing. And I was really mad about it cause my brother was fighting and I was preparing for like the longest time. But yeah, we finally got somebody. We just had to pay for his blood work. But
Why are they pulling out? Are you developing like a reputation that people should worry about you, or is it just bad luck?
I don't know. Probably a little bit of both. More likely the reputation, because I'm 0-0, right? So it's not like they have anything to fear, but I think most of them stalk my Instagram and they see that I've like competed a lot of times.
Yeah.
And like some of them were like, what, my first opponent was supposedly self-trained or self-promoted.
Oh, wow.
Pulled out. And then my second opponent was somebody that used to train with my coach, like, but then moved. And then he pulled out because his new team said that he hasn't been training long enough with them for them to fight with him or something like that. So he pulled out.
All right.
Now, my third opponent was like some dude that's like 6'1 at 155. And I was like, okay. Finally got somebody, so I'm preparing for him, fighting all my tall teammates and sparring and stuff like that.
Like a Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, he was big.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I was just like thinking about like, oh yeah, he was a southpaw too. Southpaw 6'1". So I was over here just like planning what takedown I would use against him. I was working the single leg the whole time, like jab single leg.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up pulling out as well. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just a string of bad luck, but three in a row just sounds fishy to me, honestly.
Dang, yeah, that is kind of crazy, man. That does suck. I mean, people do pull out of fights pretty often. It does suck, but yeah, three is a lot.
I would count those as wins. I think the Gracies would count them as wins, right? Didn't they count everything that happened in practice as a win? So I'm sure you could like somehow convince somebody to just add that like 3-0, 4-0 unofficially, you know? Like, yeah.
That's how the boogeyman Dean Lister got his nickname, the boogeyman. People just weren't taking fights against him.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it like training with Dan Henderson? Because to me, Dan Henderson is the most underrated, I think, MMA fighter of all time. Like, I think he's like probably like a top 10 fighter. And he's got the biggest, scariest fucking head. Is it as big and scary in real life or not?
A hendo bomb, bro. Don't let him catch you talking smack behind him, because he will destroy somebody. He's scary.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, that was a compliment. I want that fucking rockhead.
I'm talking about like just random people online in general, because he's big, scary. And I trained with him once. He was teaching the pro practice on a Tuesday because the coach that was supposed to teach it was out doing something else. So the only time that I've actually learned from him was one single practice. He's usually just there monitoring the classes. He's not like actually teaching most of the time, at least the days that I go for the pro practice. But I did like one full practice with him. It was almost like a private class because it was only like me and like three other people that are like that I'm close with. So we were just getting a lot of details from him. We were just working cage wrestling. He's really cool. I finally got my picture with him because every time he's at practice, every time he's in the gym when I'm there, we're always going live and sparring. But then he leaves after we're done. So I'm like, yeah. And he was the guy doing the face-offs at the Hendo fight night. He was like the Dana White.
Yes. I see Joe Daddy is always around though, it seems like.
Yeah, I think he counts as our head jiu-jitsu coach. He's there Wednesdays. And my other coach for jiu-jitsu, Anthony Paredes, he's there Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. But it's because Joe coaches at Hendo, and he has his own gym in Victorville called Joe Stevenson's Cobra Kai. He's there every other day.
Gotcha. It seems like you guys have a bunch of, like, pros, amateur fighters. I think I worked in Epic Fighting in San Diego not that long ago, and there was like two or three dudes, and they were all like championship material for this, you know, pro circuit. I think they coach you. I've seen them like, I don't know. I've followed them after the event, and I see you like and follow, and they comment and stuff. I'm like, oh wow, you want to tell us about some of your teammates or whatever?
Oh yeah, I have a lot of really cool teammates. Some of the pros that I trained with on like a daily basis, Trevor Wells. I think he has a fight for A1, which is like Uriah Faber MMA organization. I have another teammate, Mason Iacobellis. I got Jefferson Creighton, who's going to fight for the championship in A1, but he got bit by a spider. And he's like super swollen and everything, so he had to pull out. But he was training super hard for that fight.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
What kind of spider?
Yeah, I've seen Creighton fight. He's very good.
Yeah, he used to wrestle at Power, which is the funny part. He was a wrestler at Poway. Jesse Taylor was a wrestler at Poway.
Dang, there you go, man. Yeah.
I'm trying to get a picture with all three of us like lined up in order.
That'd be good.
Awesome. What is your game like? Like your wrestling and jiu-jitsu? Like what kind of fighter do you want to be and are you?
The fighter that I want to be, I want to be able to switch up my game plan like at the snap of a finger. If I say I'm fighting like a grappler, and I have a specific game plan for him, and then he pulls out, and then I fight like a completely different style of fighter. I want to be able to have the skills to just like switch up my game plan on the fly. You know what I mean? So I just want to be really well-rounded, but I just want to submit everybody. If I could choose what I could do in every fight, I just want to submit everybody.
Nice. What's the mentality behind that? Like Damian Maya used to want to submit everybody because he didn't like punching them in the face. Are you like a little bit like that? Like where you're like a little like gentle or what is it?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. It's like, maybe it's like a mental thing, but I just like, if I have the choice between knocking them out for certain or submitting them for certain, I'd rather just submit them because like, I don't know, less CTE, I guess. I don't know. I just
That's
like
friendlier. Yeah, I'd rather fight you then than somebody else. Like, I'll be like, all right, I'll tap and keep my...
I don't think you want to fight him, though. Yeah.
I'm just saying, as opposed to somebody that's like, yo, I want to knock you out. Like, I'd be like, fuck, that's, you know, like, that's, like, more brutal in terms of...
But I won't be afraid to go for a knockout or, like, lay some hard ground and pound on somebody to have them open up a submission attempt. But in a perfect world, I'll always go for the submission.
Do you want to move fast through the pros, and do you, like, is that your ultimate goal, like UFC? Like, do you think you can make it, or is it like you're still young, so do you want to like go to college and kind of live your life and still fight a little bit but not be 100%? Like, what's your thought process?
My thought process at the moment, I know I want to go to college because my parents want me to go to college, so it's like not up to me, right? They're forcing me to go to college. I still would do it anyways, but like, they definitely want me to get a degree, so I'm gonna do that. But I'm still gonna be fighting and giving it 100% focus at the same time. I know it's doable because I see another professional fighter doing it as well, Muhammad Alakra. He trains out of AKA. He's a Kuwaiti fighter. He's from Kuwait. I think he's in college at San Jose State University. He's getting like an engineering degree, which is like a really big type of degree. So if he can do that and still fight professionally and train consistently, then I don't know. I don't see why I can't do it as well. So I definitely want to get my degree, but I also want to keep my focus on fighting at the same time.
Look, it's definitely possible. Look at college football players. Like, college football is basically professional football, you know? Like, they have to go to school, but then they're training before class and they're training after class, and then they have to maintain everything. So it's definitely possible. In terms of like regimen schedule, it's just if you want to do it or not.
Yeah,
it's good you do it.
Your time.
Look, fighters don't make that much money. And so if you could leverage that with a business degree while gaining some notoriety and contacts, even in your area, then why not? You know, it just gives you more options in life.
Yeah. And it's just like a backup plan, because like, there's some fighters that like want to say, oh, I don't have a backup plan. I'm in this 100%. And I get that type of mentality and I agree with it 100%, but it's not just about succeeding in the sport. There's so many things that could like possibly go wrong in life. And obviously you don't want to go into it assuming it's going to go bad, but you also have to plan for the worst. Like, for all I know, I could get in a car accident tomorrow and I won't be able to fight ever again. So I'm not going to just become homeless the rest of my life, you know? So I'm just trying to be smart with my life decisions as well.
Exactly. And you might learn something. So if you make $50,000 fighting, right? You put that $50,000 in the hand of somebody that's only done fighting and doesn't know about how to save their money, they're going to fuck it up. Or maybe you get a business degree and you learn like, oh, well, maybe it's good to invest 10%, you know? And if you put $5,000 into Apple 20 years ago, that $5,000 is something like maybe $250,000 now. So there you go. Like, it's, you got to have that foresight. So
exactly. Yeah,
whatever. I'm backing up your dad a little. So I think it's good.
How doubt of you.
Also, I think a lot of, we talk about how stupid the community is sometimes. So like, I want you to go to college a little bit and just like be one of the smart people in the community by also and kick ass too.
Yeah, a lot of fighters have gone to college. I mean, like, most of them come from, like, college wrestling backgrounds, so they obviously studied and still competed at really high levels. So.
There you go.
I can do that, too. Isn't just Gaethje, like, a human something, like, officer or something like that? Like,
sociology. I know he studied sociology, Justin Gaethje.
I think he's, like, a caseworker or, like, a human, like, I think.
Social worker.
Social worker. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's like the last thing you expect somebody that fights like him to be as a judge.
It's true.
Do you have a fight lined up again? Like, are you looking to fight soon or what?
Yes, sir. I got a fight in March 18th, right before Ramadan, like by 5 days. So,
oh, nice. Beautiful. Nice. Do you know the opponent?
Yeah, I do know the opponent. He's a fighter from Kings MMA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you block him from your Instagram?
No. I didn't.
You wanted to see?
I know they're watching. I see them. I'm watching them back.
That's funny.
That's the attitude. That's the right attitude.
What's his record? Do you know?
I believe he's 0-0 in MMA, but he has competed in jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai.
Okay.
All right, Muay Thai, yeah.
Right on.
If there was a type of fighter you'd rather not fight, what type of fighter would you rather not fight? Like, what's the difficult?
Honestly, I don't even know. I guess somebody that can just completely shut down my entire game. But then again, I don't know.
Like another really good wrestler? Like is a wrestler the hardest? Is a kick?
I like those matchups because I like when people shoot at my legs because I use my takedown defense to just like get them tired. Like I know how to purposely barely stay up and make them work super hard for the takedown that they get tired. So I like those types of matchups because it's like grit type of fight. It's like it's going to be like your wrestling cancels each other out. Like whoever can last longer. I like those types of fights, but I also like when I'm trying to take the other guy down too. So I don't know, honestly.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer that question, honestly.
Hold I know on, me personally, I would hate someone that's like maybe not even a Gaethje, like a Tony Ferguson, like someone that just will refuse to tap, will refuse to go down. Like those are like the nightmares for me. Yeah, personally, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, somebody that's just gonna stay in your face the whole time. Better come good cardio.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the guys that scare me. Like the guys that can go five rounds and just will not stop. Or even like the Gaethjes and Chandlers that are just like so heavy handed. They're so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The people that love leg kicks are like, fuck you. Like, what is like, how are you like that? Like, who likes that? You know? And then they enjoy that. I'm like, oh, never. Like, yeah, then I'd want to be like you, Omar. Be like, no, I'm just going to take you down. And we're going to submit. Like, we're not playing this vicious game.
Leg kicks are great.
Yeah. But then, yeah, I get those moments of, like, Connor and Weidman and Silva. Because I'm like, getting hit with the leg kick sucks. But even throwing the leg kick sometimes is, like, a little, like,
yeah,
you got to be careful.
That I've thought about, like, I throw a lot of kicks, like, head, body, legs, front kicks, side kicks, all that stuff. I throw a lot of that. But I feel like as soon as I start competing without shin guards, I'm not throwing no more leg kicks.
See, I love the push kick. Like the push kick, even the spinning back kick, like stuff like that. I'm like, I feel like you're kind of protected and it's defensive. Yeah. But then once you throw those like super fast.
Yeah, roundhouse kicks, I get a little nervous.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the one thing I despise in sparring is when I throw a front kick on somebody's like sweaty shirt and I step back and my foot slides and I start doing the splits. That scares me so much because I feel like I'm just going to slip right into their knee as they like throw it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my peeve.
What's Arturo like a training partner with? What is it like? Do you guys like wrestle? Like, tell me about Arturo's game. I'm curious.
Last I remember from his game is he's wrist locking everybody.
There you go.
That's like when I first saw him, he was like wearing one MMA glove and then he wasn't wearing an MMA glove. I think his hand was hurt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I didn't know him at the time really well. And I was like, hey, who's that guy? Yeah, MMA fighter. And my friend's like, nah, but watch out. He has good wrist locks. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah, when I first came to the gym after a long hiatus, I had to wear a boxing glove on my hand because I could not bend my wrist and my fingers were all messed up too. I had broke something and I just wasn't going to the doctor. It's been like 6 weeks and I'm like, all right, I got to get on the mat. So I just wore one single boxing glove rolling for probably about a good month. So I was meeting a lot of people for the first time and they were like, yo, what? You know you're not going to hit anyone, right? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I know, it's just, so I can't bend it. It's just easy.
That's funny. Did you end up getting your arm checked out by the doctor? Because I know you don't wear it anymore now, do you?
No. I'm good now. Yeah. I had a physical therapist check it and stuff. And she was like, yeah, you've torn this. Generally, it's like 8 to 12 weeks healing if you give it a rest. And I'm like, okay, doc, but I'm not going to give it a rest. So how long now? Like 16 to 20 weeks. Yeah. So it's one of those things.
Hey, respect for working around it, though. Most people just completely. But that's like what I try to explain to my parents because like they think that I'm overtraining, but like I'm just telling them this is like the bare minimum if I want to do this as a profession, but they don't get it. Mm. Like every time I tell my mom, can I go in the morning and then in the afternoon? She's like, nobody's training this much. I'm like, Khabib does. And then she's like, She says that he only says that on Instagram to intimidate his opponents. I'm like, no, I guarantee you, everybody's twice a day.
That's a very mom thing, yeah.
moms are difficult. It was Khabib's mom that defeated him, that told him to stop. Like, she was the only one that could get him to fucking be like, no, I can't do it. My mom told me no. So, like, it does take up so much. I'm not a fighter. I just train as a hobbyist. So maybe I'll go 3-4 times a week, but it's like 3 hours, right? Because like a half hour there, half hour back. You train for like 2 hours, you know, and then that's a decent amount of time. But it's like, well, I like doing this. I don't want to do anything. So it does seem like a lot to a lot of people because they're like, well, what are you doing? 10, 12 hours a week, you know, and you have to do more, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the thing for like my situation, I switched to online school so I could train more. Kind of like that other 18-year-old, Raul Rosas. I heard that he like left high school to do online school so you could have more time for training sessions. Mm. That's pretty much why I did it. I've just been like doing school off of my Chromebook pretty much.
How do you feel about that kid?
He's cracked. I'd love to train with him. He looks really good.
Oh, cracked is a good thing?
Cracked is a good thing, yeah.
Okay. I was like, if I was that kid's dad, like, you guys listening can't see Omar's face. Like, Omar looks like a handsome young kid, you know? But that guy, Raul, like, his face is fucking fucked up, like, a little bit. Like, that guy's been through wars. Like, I'm not saying it in a mean way, but, like, that guy has no nose, and he's, like, 17 years old. Like,
he's all chin.
Like, you... Like, I believe you don't have CTE. Like, you know, like, I could see from your face, and you're wrestling, and you're doing jiu-jitsu. Like, but like that kid, I'm like, I worry about that kid. Like, I don't know if that's right. And if your mom saw that kid, I think she'd be like, no, I don't want you to.
Yeah. My mom almost made me quit after I fractured my ankle in wrestling, like sophomore year. Like, I came back home from the hospital, and like, she was the one crying.
But that's moms. That's moms.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be like that. That's moms.
But the thing about me is I'm like the most paranoid person on the planet. Like, I'll look at something and I'll overthink it way too much, right? And CTE is like one thing that I also like overthink a lot. That's why like I'm super safe when I spar. I don't like sparring super hard. I'm trying to force myself to spar harder so I could like, you know, kind of just like get in the mindset. But like, obviously there's like a time and place to do it. My problem with most people is like almost all their sparring is hard sparring, even when they don't have a competition coming up. And I think that's very foolish because you're just wasting your brain cells for no reason without a purpose. You got to be smart with it.
Yeah, I agree. There's a time and place. Like, you know, if you make it and you're 23 and now you're like on the verge of some championship, like go fucking hard that year. But right now, like, train your wrestling, train yourselves, like do the things that keep your mind strong so you keep getting better. Like, there's multiple ways.
Yeah. That I mean, fighters still argue about that, like whether they should have more light sparring or heavy sparring. That's still not like a figured out thing.
Yeah, there's
then you have guys like, what's his face? Hawaii. What's his name? I'm blanking
Holloway.
Out. Right now. Holloway. Yeah.
He doesn't spar anymore. At least he doesn't spar hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I believe that. Like, he doesn't move around ever, or does he just like not actually spar hard? Like, does he just still do like kind of like light rounds where he's just like moving around with like another person, or is it only pad work now? Like,
I can't imagine. I have no idea how that even works. I mean, I would imagine you have to do some sparring, even if it's light. But he's like, no, I don't do any sparring. You're like, wow, that's the most remarkable thing to me. Imagine if every fighter did that. Who would be good? Max would be the best easily.
Well, isn't pad work like a little bit the guy's still going to throw some punches and you do have that feel like you're in the ring and you're still
moving a little.
Kind of. It's mainly just like a reactive bag work kind of.
Yeah. But if you look at it, Holloway is probably what? At least already put in thousands of hours sparring.
Yeah.
So what's the new stuff really going to do? As long as that other guy's helping you react and move. Like, you know what I mean? He's already developed, like, he's got this whole foundation already with
him. Yeah, I think that's why it works out for him, because he's already got his timing down. He's got his range down and all that stuff. He has the experience of sparring hard and stuff like that. So for a guy like him, he doesn't need to spar hard. And like the way he says he doesn't do sparring anymore, maybe to him the word sparring just means heart sparring, and maybe he's still like lightly. Yeah. There's like a lot of like question marks around like the statements, because it's not like somebody needs to sit him down and just ask him like question after question, understanding what he's talking about.
Yeah, maybe we have to do that. Yeah.
Full tag, let's go.
Yeah, we make too many assumptions with fighters, and then we think we know what they say, where meanwhile they might just be...
Yeah, a lot of them make vague statements, and then they just make you imagine, like, the rest. Like,
and the media wants to make it worse. There's a football player, Kayvon Thibodeau. He's on the Giants, and, like, I love him. And then, yeah, last week, like, he sacked the quarterback, and the quarterback got hurt, but he didn't know. So the quarterback the quarterback is like laying down in pain, but then Kayvon Thibodeau lays down next to him and starts doing snow angels. And then so everyone was like, that's fucked up. And he's like, I didn't know he was hurt, but he's like, also, we play a really tough sport. Like, you know, like they pay me to be a savage. And I'm like, yeah, so why do we feel so bad when somebody gets hurt? But it's also like, we're also paying you because it's dangerous. Like, if it wasn't dangerous, we wouldn't be watching. So like, why is everybody acting so holier than thou? And then the other coach for the other team was like, he's fucking trash. And he's and the other coach of the other team is like a Hall of Famer, this guy Jeff Saturday. And they asked Kayvon Thibodeau, what do you feel about what Jeff Saturday said? And he was like, I don't know him, so I don't care. And then the news story became, why does he know this Hall of Fame player? Like, does he not care about the history of the sport? Where the way I took it was, I didn't take it as he didn't know of him. I think he just took it as like, well, I'm not friends with him and I don't know him personally, so I don't care what he says.
That's how I read it. Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's the same word, but it's like, how do you want to take it?
Mm-hmm.
And because I know him, like, or he's on my team, so I'm going to take it the way, like, oh, he probably meant this. Even, like, he just didn't know personally.
What the guy meant, they would still make it in a way that is clickbaity and makes people comment, because that's just what they're going to do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're just always going to do that. If they have a way to caption something in the most weird way to get the most clicks, but still somewhat be, like, in the same, like, ballpark, they're going to do it.
Yep.
It's tough. That's why, even if you're going to study, it's good to study like PR and that type of stuff, and like self-promotion and branding, media relations, just to become aware of how do you properly position yourself.
Yeah.
Plus, then you see scumbags, but you see people like Patty Pimblett that are like crushing it. And meanwhile, it's like there's got to be 20 people on the roster that might be just as good, you know, and nobody cares about.
Yeah. It's the entertainment business. That's why
it is. Yeah. All right. Speaking of like UFC and stuff, are there any big fights coming up that you're interested in a lot more than others? Or like, is there a fighter? I feel like you're a pretty deep diver on fighters. So I feel like there's a fighter that you know that's like underrated and you're going to be like, yo, this is the guy to watch out for.
Underrated? Let me think. Now y'all put me on the spot. I got to think. I feel like most of them already have like certain like fan bases with like the hardcore fans, like Al-Fazeev.
Mm-hmm.
Armand Sarukian, he's so good.
That's my guy. Yeah, I've been a huge fan of Armand. Yeah, I think he's like, that guy's going to be a champion one day.
You can put him up with anybody in the top five and he'll either beat half of them or like come super close to beating them.
Yes.
Just like doesn't get talked about enough by like most. Here is Magulov too, who Armand just fought and tired. But like what sucks is like these two really underrated, like super skilled guys in the bottom of the division are fighting each other, and one of them has to lose. You know, that's just how the sport is. One wins and one loses. Doesn't make the other guy bad. But the guy losing, he's going to go down and he's never going to be able to prove himself against like what people consider the top level. Yes. Right. Like the Poiriers, the Chandlers, the Gaethjes. Yep. And Poirier, honestly, is probably, in my opinion, he's better than Chandler and Gaethje. He's the best out of like the people in like the top five, aside from like Charles, maybe Beneil.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we won't probably see guys like Demir, Guram, and like Armand get tested against them like anytime soon, it kind of like sucks.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Do you think it's because of their personalities and their names?
Yeah,
and
they're just
and where they're from.
Yeah, they don't speak enough good English to, like, make anybody like really interested. They don't talk a lot of shit. Like Demir barely speaks English, and whenever he says anything in English, he's just like, "Let's go, top five UFC."
Yeah, it is annoying because a lot of those fighters don't get the credit they deserve. And I think it's because their names are difficult and they don't speak English and people don't want to love wrestling. But I also think it's special because once they are good, you have the most conservative, ignorant people that know how to say Khabib Nurmagomedov, you know, like, and they know the name, like an Islam Makhachev. At that point, it's like, oh, it's not hard, even though it is the hardest. Like the first 2-3 years in the UFC, nobody knew his name. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, oh, I know that guy. Like, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Eventually they'll get their due. If you were going to fight somebody, this is the reverse type question. So John Jones killed a lot of people when he made it. Finally, he was like a legend killer. So is there somebody like, say you make it to the UFC like 6, 7, 8 years from now, and somebody that's pretty good now, but maybe won't be that good in 8 years. You're like, I want to fight him in 8 years. Like, who would that be? Do you understand the point of my question?
You're like asking me who, like, I watch right now, who I think I'm gonna end up maybe fighting in the future, or like would want to fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. One thing on the side, like regarding like the last question, like people that like don't speak very good English, he was able to really flip the script and just like start talking so much and getting people excited from his post fight.
Yeah. Hardly
like broken accent. He's like, money, Moicano. He's like, Moicano wants money.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. He was pretty. That last post fight speech was great. But I've loved Tanato Moicano for a long time. And I feel like his last three fights have been really exciting, win or lose. So,
RDA.
Yeah, it's a shame that they only get the shine if they're saying the right things.
Yeah. He was speaking in the third person the whole time. So, you know, back to the other question, one person that I would like to fight if I'm in the UFC, depending what division, I don't even know what division I would be. Probably 45, I think. Like 45 or 55.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd have to be somebody not too old that would still be here while
Yeah. So someone that has like the longevity to stay there, but also someone that you would just be honored to or just would love to fight.
Honestly, any of them, I would be honored to fight because they're all people that I'm watching on the TV right now. So regardless of who it is, it's like me fighting like people that I used to look up to, like not necessarily like I'm big fans of or like I support their every fight. Like I like almost every fighter, but like it's different between like I like most fighters, but then I'm like really big fans of like other fighters. So I think it wouldn't matter who I fight. If it's just like somebody that I used to watch on the TV, like in like UFC fight nights and stuff like that, I would probably be happy fighting any of them because it's like the new gen versus the old gen.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Izzy and like Uriah Hall when they fought Anderson Silva, they said that they used to watch him in the TV growing up and whatever, stuff like that. And then they end up fighting. It's crazy. For all I know, I'm going to fight Umar Nurmagomedov for the 45-pound plate.
That would be terrifying. If I was there, I'd say somebody like Nate Diaz, because in 6, 7 years, you could take him down definitely. And
you think?
There's a lot of guys.
I'm trying to find somebody that's going to be like really tired and old by the time.
I don't know who's going to be around. Like, will Volk be around? Holloway, Emmett, all these guys aren't going to be around. Qatar. Like, you're going to need, like, an Arnold Allen or, like, definitely not Korean Zombie or Ilya Topuria.
I'd fight him. I know his weaknesses.
There we go.
I like his fight style a lot. He's a better grappler and wrestler than he's a striker, but people don't know that yet.
Yeah, he's great. 13-0. He's got TKOs, submissions, decisions. Yeah. This guy can do it all for sure, yeah.
Is he from Spain or Georgia?
I think he's... was born in Georgia, lives in Spain.
So he's both. I was on the right track. Did you see like somebody just went up to him to fight him at a bar?
Yeah, I saw that. What? I thought it was, but he told me it was fake.
Oh, I don't know. It looked real. I don't know. It looked like the security camera footage. Some guy walks up to him and pushes him like twice, and then like the third time he goes to push him, Topuria just starts hitting him with the left, and then like his friends come and it kind of becomes like a brawl. But it's like.
Yeah,
what are you doing starting with this guy?
Jeez.
It's so weird because, like, people sitting, like, across the room on different tables started fighting each other. I'm like, where did that start from? Somebody told me it was, like, a PR stunt or something. I don't know.
Oh, it could have been. I'm talking about it now. So, yeah, it worked maybe.
I don't know. I've been in places where, you know, two guys fight. One guy bumps into the next guy. That guy's fighting. And all of a sudden, the whole bar is fighting. And you're like, what happened? It just spreads like a virus sometimes.
That's what happens when you're around a lot of alcohol and a lot of egos.
That is absolutely true. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, alcohol and egos.
Yep.
Fuck.
Man, I'm sad about what he did to Bryce Mitchell. Bryce Mitchell's my boy. He's hillbilly Khabib. He has a special
place. Yeah, man. That was like the future match. That's again, like, you know, those two up and coming guys, like, who's going to be the guy? Yeah, Topuria winning that one. It's a big statement.
I loved Bryce. Once he started talking all that flat earth stuff, like, the geographer in me was like, I'm so glad this guy, Ilya is smashing him.
Until you find out Topuria probably believes something you don't like either, though.
I know. Then the next guy will win. That's I need.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. That's good. I'm looking forward to March 18th and seeing your fights, Omar. You seem like a really good kid. Like, I'll definitely be rooting for you.
Thank you.
The people at Poway.
Yes, sir. Poway gang. P-Town.
Hell yeah. Is your brother fighting or anything? Does he have anything lined up?
He wants to do a jiu-jitsu tournament just because he wants to have, like, more matches in one day so he could, like, start experience. Because everybody he's fought or competed with so far, he did a Naga tournament. He took first place, but he only had one match. And the kid that he fought had a lot of his competitions. So he had more experience in that fight, and he came out with the win. So that was good. But his last fight, he fought a really tough kid. I don't even know what jiu-jitsu belt he is. I don't know how the kid's belt works. They all have, like, different colors and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But the kid's competed, like, 10, 15 times. So... It was a good first match. It was really close as well, but my brother goofed on his takedown defense and got taken down and then submitted. But he was doing good on the strike.
You sound very disappointed in that fact, the fact that it was like a takedown.
No, what I told him is I think this kid's like most comfortable area would be the ground, so we keep him where he's least comfortable because I know my brother's got really good striking and like he's really good at wrestling as well. So I was like, if you can, just defend all those takedowns and keep it on the feet. And he was doing really good on the feet. He made the kid fall over like 3 times. I'm like, you should have been meaner. Like, as my brother caught his kick or punched him as he was kicking, and the kid fell backwards and did like a backwards roll. And what I told him is, you messed up there because you should have pushed him as he finished his backwards roll, like make him fall back.
Yeah.
Like those little things, you got to like be mean in between exchanges. You just got to beat the guy from exchange to exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I got to teach him that. That's what I do to him when we go live. I just like keep pulling his head down, pushing him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you teach him.
Hell yeah. It's got to help to have a brother that also likes training and, you know, in the house, like you guys can do stuff, figure out stuff.
Yeah, we got Matt now in the garage. My teammate, Matt. But the problem is every time me and my brother go to drill on the mat, say we can't go to the gym one day for whatever reason, we drill on the mats. We get too distracted too fast and we just start fighting.
I love it.
We always like complain about it afterwards. I'm like, dude, we keep getting distracted. We got to focus and drill better. That's why me and him are just going to start going live from the get-go so we don't get distracted.
That's funny.
Your poor mom too. I'm just thinking of it. She's like, everybody's just fucking fighting. That's so cute. Wonderful, man. Is there anything you'd like to say or, I don't know, finish off on?
Nothing much. Just thank you guys for inviting me to the podcast. It's really cool. I bet I'm going to re-listen to this and see my voice and be really annoyed, but it's fine.
We all think that when we hear ourselves on there, for sure.
Yeah. I don't even listen to myself. Artie pushes it. I'm like, I hope I was decent. And then that's...
Yeah, he doesn't like listening to himself either. Yeah, we're all like that pretty much. Is anyone you want to shout out or give credit to or any thanks to or anything like that?
Shout out to my mom and my dad, obviously. Aww. I can't go to practice without them. They really support me in this journey. My mom lets me be an MMA fighter. She says that she trusts me and that she is going to support my decision to be an MMA fighter. She'd rather me be a doctor because, you know, Arab moms, it's either doctor or engineer. There's no in between. So She always like whenever I get in trouble, she's over like always mentioning the fact that if I had any other mom, she wouldn't let me, they wouldn't be letting me do MMA. So I'm thankful for my family and all my teammates, especially one of my coaches / teammates, Jeff Creighton. He's always spending a lot of time with me and helping me and my brother out. We're always drilling together and stuff outside of practice. And he's letting me borrow his mats. So special thank you to Jeff and John and Trevor and Mason and Joe and Anthony and Tarek. Everybody, just thank you, Dan Hendo Gym. They're my boys.
Right on, and man. That's great to hear.
My older gyms too. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you.
And yeah, if your mom and dad listen to this, good job. You raised a good kid. You see, Omar seems like a good kid. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. Yep. Hopefully they're proud of you.
Yep. I'll see if I get my first car now.
Wonderful.
All right, man. Thanks for joining us again, Omar. We appreciate it. Good luck, man. We're definitely staying tuned with you for sure.
Thank you.
All right. Peace out, Omar.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram at philosophy_fighting.
We would like to thank one of our sponsors, Protect Your Neck MMA. It's like the Wu-Tang song. They have a lot of great rash guards and shorts, make great gifts. If you go to our Instagram page, philosophy_fighting, you'll find the link to Protect Your Neck MMA, and you'll get a 15% discount on any of the goods that they sell. Tell Michael Shear, the owner, that you know us. Great people. These are created by jiu-jitsu guys, for jiu-jitsu guys, or any combat sport, and fans of 90s hip-hop. All right. Cheers.